Napa Know How.
A Napa guy knows more isn't always better, unless we're talking about full-size vans. These beasts do more than get you from A to B. They have so much space a man can live in it. With shag carpeting, waterbed, and a sweet lava lamp, these mobile abodes have all the comforts of home. With quality parts and plenty of Napa know-how, you can keep the original tiny house running longer, stronger. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
Blog Talk Radio.
Trophy, it's going to be huge. It's going to be huge. You got a lot of NBA games going on this weekend. You got Christmas coming in a couple of weeks, and I'm not talking about gift giving and all that crazy crap. I'm talking about the NBA games, the NFL games. It's going to be crazy.
Oh, really?
I can't wait to get into the hour of power. I just can't wait.
That's what you were referring to? The games? Not
the games.
That we shall give?
That's why, that's
honor
why I look forward
of our
to
Lord
Christmas,
Savior?
The NBA.
Okay.
The NBA,
all right, well.
The NBA starts on Christmas Day.
I think that was one of the monikers for it. But also joining us live from the host city, his mama named him Michael. Micah. I was going to say Michael Lee. Y'all know what he is. But you can follow him on Twitter at NB Richmond on the Twitter. What's going on, Richmond own? Micah, what's up?
Oh, my brother, I tell you what's going down. I'm going to be turning some frowns upside down because now in the scene is DJ ME. And let me tell you, man, no one can touch me. And then, you know, at the end of the day, you know how it goes, Mike Knox.
Well, teach on, brother. Teach on. One thing I won't do, I'm going to call him out on the radio right now, Dice Man on the Twitter, DYCEZ Man. Don't be laughing at my opinion, bruh. I'm going to leave that right there and talk to you in person later. But, guys, today on this program, Wally Wow will be joining us very shortly, 347-637-359. Also, make sure you follow the social media to the icons and the stars above that makes us an A-lister that we are. That is King Vaughn Jr. 720 on the Twitter. Now, here's why I say the Heisman Trophy is overrated. I'm going to jump right into this thing with both feet on. Raw dogging. Did you say double raw bagging it? How is me saying the Heisman Trophy means that I'm smoking dope?
No. I just wanted to interrupt your thought before you got started because I think it's silly anyway. But, I mean, go on. Go ahead. I mean, it's your show. Go ahead.
You think my thought is okay. I'm going to break it down for you. Here's why. Okay. For the last 10 years or longer, it's been nothing but a quarterback award. First and foremost, okay? I believe the last non-quarterback to win the award was Mark Ingram, right? I believe Trenton Richardson was just a quarterback running back award. Arguably, we could say 4 years ago, the best player in college football was Michael Sam's, not even invited to the award show, right? Jaleel Peppers last year in college, one of the best college basketball football players, wasn't even invited to the award show. Kalen Mack. I mean, the list goes on and on and on of why this award has become overrated to me. Not per se the guys that win the award, but the award itself and how it's supposed to stand alone like the MVP award. It's pretty much the MVP of college. And we could say that about the NFL MVP award also lately only going to quarterbacks. But in most cases, the MVP and the NFL is the quarterback, meaning the most viable player to that team. You can make an argument case for J.J. Watts, but if you look at the wins that Houston was giving out, J.J. Watts' win-loss ratio would go against that being more than the quarterback. But in college, I would beg to differ of the quarterback is not necessarily the backbone of that team. When was the last time there's been an important quarterback for Alabama? AJ McCarron's, maybe? Maybe? Would that team not still flourish without a good quarterback? I would say yes, it has. Throughout the tenure of Nick Saban, has flourished without a quarterback. So, get this award that is given out every single year after the Home Depot Award Show, which gives out the best quarterback award, gives out the awards itself in general. But then you turn around and you have another award show to say, this is the best player in college basketball when that award was given out at the Home Depot College Football Award Show. The Heisman Trophy, like everything else in this community that we live in sports, is just a matter of tradition. And people, and I'm one of them, typically hate giving up on tradition. But if you want to make this award mean something, get back to the nature of what the award means. It is the best player in college football. Tomorrow, this award is going to go to Baker Mayfield. Am I saying that he's not the best player in college football? I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is that to only have two quarterbacks and a running back invited to the ceremony itself, it has gotten less and less every year, makes this award overrated. Jay Chris?
Yeah, I would have to agree with you. You know, the only thing I would have to disagree with is the overrated thing, because to me, the Heisman Trophy has been really pointless for almost 10 years. So to me, it's not overrated.
Saying.
It's pointless.
Okay.
So, you know, change the
narrative then, in case it hasn't been tweeted out yet. Heisman Award pointless.
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing. Like you said, I mean, who was the last non-quarterback? You said it was Ingram.
Mark Ingram and Jason Richardson.
It goes back.
There was a time when the Heisman Award had almost a direct correlation of this guy's going to be a star in the NFL.
Exactly.
Not anymore.
Exactly.
Not anymore.
Right.
It has become exactly what you said and what it is. The best college football player. Well, let me take that back. It's not always
the
best college football player.
The most entertaining.
Most entertaining
college football player. Yep.
And for that matter, like when you said the MVP is always going to like the best player on the best team in the NFL. That hasn't always been the case with the MVP. I mean, with the Heisman Trophy. Not always the best player on the best team. It's probably going to go to the kid out of Oklahoma. They are a very good team. I don't know if he's the best player on that team, but they are a very good team. There are teams that are ranked above
the
team. He could be. Like I said, like when I said I don't know, I really don't
right.
know. So, you know, it's just the type of thing where is Saquon Barkley a better football player than him? That's up
right.
for debate. That's up for opinion. Is the kid out of Louisville a better quarterback? I don't know. The kid that won it last year, is he a better quarterback?
Right.
I don't know. He didn't have all the highlight plays that he did last year. Lamar Jackson, thank you. Now, there was a time when I used to watch the Heisman Trophy presentation, not anymore. I probably haven't watched it since the Tim Tebow days. Maybe Michael Vick. I don't remember when the last time I watched it. Last time I probably cared was the Tim Tebow days, so... You know, it's just, it's overrated. It's become a nothing award. They have so many other awards in college football that they kind of hold into high esteem now that they, you know, they don't advertise as much. They don't have the big show for it anymore. But, you know, that being said, yeah, it's overrated. I don't care about it anymore. I don't really know who does. I don't think you
Michael?
Do,
Michael. I know that I don't. Michael, your thoughts? You said I
well,
am on crack.
Yeah. Y'all both are definitely smoking a special brand of white substance here. Let me tell you how important this award is. Actually, I'm just kidding. I'm just messing with you. You make a very compelling
hello.
Argument. And the main part of this that gets lost in the shuffle is what you just said. This award, this Heisman Award, is literally just an offensive player award. It's the best offensive player in football, in college football award. And like I was saying earlier, you would have to go all the way back to 1997 with Michigan's own Charles Woodson at cornerback. And if I may be honest, I think one of the reasons why he got it was because of some of the things that he did on offense, on kick returns.
Right.
Am I speculating incorrectly?
No, I think you're 100% right in that speculation.
And then if you want to get something else that's different from a running back or fullback, you have to go back to 1949, Leon Hart of Notre Dame. He was in. You have to go that far back to not have a running back or a quarterback. So, Mike, at first I thought you were smoking a special brand here, but then I look at it, I'm like, this is nothing but college football's Offensive Player of the Year Award, which they should call the Heisman Trophy, the Offensive Player of the Year Award. And just leave it at that, because there's no way that you can constantly say the most important position in football is not quarterback, in my opinion. the most important position in football is that one man on the offensive line who's supposed to protect your quarterback's blind side. Because if he stinks and the rest of them stink, oh, you can be a Johnny, you can be a Baker, you can be a Russell Wilson, but eventually that's going to catch up with you. And you'll be able to make those plays because your offensive line doesn't hold up. So, you know, I know they got some awards for a little bit of everything, but if they were to be honest about what this Heisman is, I would have to agree with you, Mike. It just needs to be called the Heisman for the best offensive player of the year. And if they have a Heisman for the best defensive player of the year, then guess what you now have to do? You have to actually watch film and actually vote correctly, unlike some of the other Heisman voters who – I'm not going to name who they are, but, you know, they just go with the narrative that's being perpetrated because it's the easiest thing to do because it's so much college football. So they don't want to study like us here in the most intelligent sports radio show there is.
I just looked at this and I kept breaking it down in my mind what really got me was that here we go again. And yet again, there's no invitations to any other player. And I go back to Michael Sams. Michael Sims was the best player in the SEC. What do everybody say? Maybe not now, this year. Maybe a little bit last year that narrative was being taken away from the SEC. But before then, the last 10 years, SEC, 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 SEC was being drilled in your head as the best conference in college. You would hear stuff like they could beat the Cleveland Browns, which I still think that's impossible. But the world may never know, right? How many licks does it take to get to the center of a pitching pot? But he was the best player in college football. Did not even come close to sniffing the Heisman. And I just think that kind of stuff is the kind of stuff that takes away from this award being as prestigious as they like it to be and for us to want it to be. 347-637-3859. When I look at this award, I don't see what it meant to me even growing up because it was drilled in our heads that this was the award for the best player in college, you know, sports. It doesn't have that connotation anymore, J. Chris.
Not at all. Not at all. It just doesn't. And, you know, I don't know if college football as a whole has the same meaning as it did, you know, coming up in the 80s, 90s, 70s, for that era. Because now, you know, just like in basketball, well, actually, unlike basketball, you know, you only have really a few teams that really have an opportunity to be a star, to, you know, in the lack of a better term. And you got the 14 playoff. And really, outside of that, what are you really going to be paying attention to outside the 14 playoff? Maybe the Rose Bowl, you know, or should I say the Ohio State and USC game. Maybe a couple other of those games. But It doesn't have the luster anymore, and I don't know why. That could be because of the TV aspect to it, like it had in basketball, where you had a few teams in basketball that were really good, a few conferences, and then the contracts got bigger. Now they're all spread around, except for when it comes to Alabama, everybody's good at Alabama. But you know, it's all spread around. It's just college sports just doesn't have the luster that it once had, and maybe, you know, maybe the people back in the day, maybe they were using those special enhancers. I don't know. We don't know because they just seemed like they were a lot better back in the day than they are now. It's not as fun. You know, it doesn't get fun until bowl time. Whereas, you know, it used to be fun all the way around to follow a team all the way through to the end. And maybe, you know, to get into another conversation that I'm sure we can get into later, maybe that kind of the college football playoff took away from following a team all the way to the end, you know, because, you know, if you get 1-2 losses, then you know they're out of the picture for the most part, especially if they're a team. Let's take UCF, for example. UCF went undefeated all year. We knew they weren't going to make it, but they would have probably, had it not been for a playoff situation, they probably would have got a lot of top 10 consideration, top 5 consideration, knowing that they probably still would not be.
Well, that's funny that you bring that up, because today Scott Frost, former coach of UCF, now the coach of Nebraska, being asked, well, he coached the Peach Bowl game against Auburn. He said that he believes if there was an extended college playoff to like 8 teams, he thinks they would have been in there because of that narrative of having. He thinks if you extend the college football playoff 4 to 8, it'd give other
you know, non-Power 5 conferences that opportunity to prove themselves. So I don't think UCF couldn't beat nobody, but I couldn't imagine, with all due respect towards my quarterback, I couldn't see a North Dakota State beating an Alabama. You know what I mean? But I guess
when you talk about a Temple
was really good a few years ago, could you see Temple beating Ohio State? No.
No, because they were not that good, but they were top 25. However, think about the Boise State teams of a few years ago, the TCUs of a few years ago, the Houstons, the Utahs.
They tried.
Was it Boise State that beat
Boise State won the Sugar Bowl. They won the Sugar Bowl.
Remember that? That's when the one guy proposed to the girl.
When it's like three overtime. Yeah, they went three overtime against Oklahoma and beat them on the Statue of Liberty.
Right. That could be the UCF. That could be UCF this year. You know what I mean? You just never know, because these teams are so talented, but they, you know, their schedules aren't tough, so we automatically assume they can't compete with some of these other teams. You know, they got to make tougher schedules, but, you know, two teams have to agree to play each other to make the schedule. So, you know, let's say a UCF goes to Ohio State and says, look, we want to play you. And Ohio State says, no, we don't want to play you guys. Because really, Ohio State has everything to lose and nothing to gain by beating UCF. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Now UCF has to put somebody like, I don't know, South Carolina State on the schedule as opposed to Ohio State. And now the schedule's not as strong because a bigger team would not agree to play them. So sometimes it's not always on the school that has the weaker schedule. Sometimes the stronger teams don't want to play them out of fear of having everything to lose in that situation. It's a lot that goes into it, man. It's so crazy. What do you think about that?
No, I really do agree with that statement and how we tied that in to the Heisman. It's just giving – if America loves, right, the underdog, then when did we stop giving the underdog a chance? You know what I'm saying? What makes March Madness so beautiful is that the Cinderella story. And, yeah, over the last 2 years, the Cinderellas have died down. But last year – we got some Cinderella teams, you know? When you're watching Gonzaga compete now in national championship games and getting to the Final Four, that's things we wouldn't have seen 10 years ago. The underdog still shines in sports. That's what makes sports sports. I mean, look at the Cleveland Browns organization for a second. Not the organization, I take that back. The fan base. That fan base loves that team because they love – that's their team. You have to love this award and start to give this award. Who's tuning in tomorrow? Are you really tuning into this tomorrow when you know who the award's going to? It's going to Baker Mayfield. It's no if.
And
the question is,
and he already won every other award.
Exactly. The question is, will he break the record? Well, I think the overall rank was like 71% or something like that voted for him. I think he wins like 85% of the vote tomorrow. It's damn near Lamar Jackson. Yeah, okay, you won it last year. Your team wasn't that good this year, but really, Michael Vick's promoting this guy. But come on, Michael Vick, I love you, dog. There's no way this kid, who I think is good, is better than you were in college. To quote Wally for a while back in our chat we had during the week, Michael Vick was doing things against Florida State that I never saw before. I saw Michael Vick in a corner store bar play Florida State. And I'm sitting here at the time, my fiance, who became my wife, saying, this guy is better than LeBron James. It's better than Randall Cunningham. And everybody who knows me knows I think Randall Cunningham was the greatest thing I ever saw in my life play football. And I saw Michael Vick, and I goes, no. That made it, you know, my point is, guys have to have the opportunity. The media, you, me, the four letter, the big juggernauts, have to start paying attention to the little guy again. You have to start paying attention to the little guy again. And until that happens, I'm not watching this Heisman Award ceremony tomorrow for something I already know is going to happen. But what I will be turning my attention to tomorrow, immediately following the Heisman Trophy, is the battle of two gold medal finalists. You have Lemonchenko, ranked why, for the life of me, I will never understand this, why he's amongst the top of the pound-for-pound list at 9-1, seven knockouts, takes on I can't pronounce his name. I know his name. I just can't. Help me out, Jay Chris.
Guillermo Rigondeaux.
Guillermo. I will say Guillermo. I want to say his last name. Guillermo, I knew. I just can't pronounce his last name. I was going to say Rowan Gutner. You know, for rookie of the year. 17-0, 11 knockouts. And you look at this pound-for-pound list, and Triple G's on top of this list, according to the four-letter, which why I still don't know. I would still argue that the day come. But Lemonchenko's ranked number two, still above Terrence Bud Crawford. On this list, though, at number seven is Guillermo. Tomorrow, this fight is the fight that boxing fans, we continue to say we want, we're getting, all because of the PBC. Who wins this fight tomorrow night, Jay Chris, and what a fight we have in front of us?
Man, who wins this fight tomorrow? You know, there's a lot of me that wants to say Rigondeaux wins this. There's a lot of me that wants to say he's an undefeated fighter, but he's been in the fight game for a long time. I think he was a gold medalist in 2004.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot to be said about who he is, though. And when I say that, I mean, you know, he beat Nonito Donaire, and it seems like after that he kind of got blacklisted in a sense, because Donaire was supposed to be the cash cow. And he beat Donaire and then just kind of couldn't get any great fights after that. He is a good fighter. However, he's 37 years old.
That's the problem. That is the problem, right?
That's a big problem.
He's older than you.
He's 37 years old, and he's older than me, actually.
Right.
I can't say that too often with these boxers, man.
Jay Chris, you got an old soul.
I do. People have been saying that about me for a long time.
I know you were going. I'll tell you, the mitten boy surprises me every time. Go ahead, mitten.
But for that reason, I'm going to say Lomachenko wins this fight by a decision. I really believe that if it goes the distance, I don't see Rigondeaux coming out on top. And Lomachenko is a good fighter. You know, we've spoke about him many times on this show, whether it be good or bad. He's a guy that has the extensive amateur record, and he lost. I believe it was the second fight he lost to a really good fighter that came in like 20 pounds overweight for the fight and just beat him up. So I'm going to go with Lomachenko in this fight. That's just going to have to be what it is. I don't see a knockout happening in this fight. If anybody gets knocked out, it would be Lomachenko, but I just don't see that happening. So I'm going with Lomachenko in this fight to beat Rigondeaux, and probably that'll be close to the end of Rigondeaux's career due to his age.
Other boxing expert is here. Wally Wiles here to join us all the way from the DMV. We know he got ID because he's black and he's driving in America. Lomachenko, ranked number two, pound-for-pound fighter in the world, according to the four-letters database. I say garbage. I say I'm sorry. That's garbage. But he's number two in the world, pound-for-pound. That's even on Ring Magazine. Let me go back and check that. I checked it earlier today. I think he's still in the
top
three.
Ring Magazine, about to say. What Ring Magazine, sir?
I'm going to it now. Who you got winning this fight tomorrow?
Oh man, you know I got my man. I got high tech, man. You know what I mean? I got Lomachenko, man. High tech. That's where it's at right now. You know, it's still one of the most skilled boxers in the game. Just by the eye test, he's versatile. He's versatile in his approach.
They have him number three below who I think pound for pound, Terrence Crawford. At number two, Golovin's number one.
Look, I'm not knocking that.
They have Guillermo number four on this list, though. But they only got one apart, ESPN has them three apart.
Yeah, and this is a good test for Lomachenko. I mean, even in the short career, he's battle-tested, but this is a grand test right now. You probably record that who beat Donaire, and who Jay Chris mentioned, like, was Donaire at the time was supposed to be like the Manny Pacquiao. He was the guy that everybody thought was going to move up, you know, through weight classes and dominate because you seem like he had so much power. So, and he's bringing down, made easy work of him. So, this is a challenge for Lomachenko. Lomachenko wins the fight. You know, obviously, he's going to move up on the pound-for-pound list. But I expect him to win. I expect him to pretty much dominate the fight, not to say, like, he's going to knock him out. It'll be a one-sided fight.
So, he wins this fight, the four-letter puts him above the Triple G? Because right now he's number two on one and number three on the other.
I think you have to. Again, we just gotta look at that. It depends how he beats. It's gonna also depend how he beats Rigondeaux. If he dominates Rigondeaux, yes. Put it that way.
Would I be the hater that I'm known for, as I am your fan's favorite fan and your hater's favorite hater? Because I believe every fan, including all of us on this line right now, has some hate in front of them. If I say Lemonchenko loses this fight, and this has nothing to do with my love, pause, for Terrence Bud Crawford. This has to do with the fight that I think. I had to make sure that I say that. Because to me, no matter what it doesn't matter what these lists are. I refuse to put a fighter who hasn't won more than 11 fights number one. I can't do that.
Yeah, I feel you.
I
feel you on that.
He's 9-1. Like, come on now. You got Keith Thurman, 28-0. You got Earl Spence, 22-0 and 19 knockouts. Mickey Garcia, 37-0. But you want to put a guy who's 9-1 at number two and number three on a pound for pound list. That tells you the power of the four letter, to be honest. That's really what that tells you.
Earl Spence,
they are
dude, too.
Earl Spence is that dude.
He's that dude, too. He ain't getting arguably, you could say just as good as all the dudes you just mentioned. To be real with you.
I got Earl Spence number three, number four on my list.
You could have him number one. That's what I'm saying. Like, arguably, you could have him number one. That's how field he is. Arguably, you could have him one. If you really want to, you could.
I think Guillermo wins this fight tomorrow, y'all. I do. I think, when you have that, I believe he's Haitian, Jamaican, one of the nationalities, right? Help me out here. He's not Black American. I think. They take the pride.
Guillermo, Rigondeaux?
Yeah.
He's Cuban.
Yeah, Guillermo. Yeah.
So we got Cuban versus Russian, Lomachenko. You know what I think about Russian fighters, right? We all know.
He's not a cheater, man.
I saw Rocky IV, and my mind will never change. It's already messed up my mind. I curse you.
If he dies, he dies.
If he dies, he dies. It's all Rocky's fault, okay? Why do you think Creed II will be so damn intriguing? Where he takes on his son. He's going to avenge his father's death. That's what makes that
movie. Oh, that's the storyline?
That's the storyline.
Oh, wow. That's good.
Hold on. Rocky's got to fight Creed?
No, not Rocky. Creed's going to fight. Creed will fight Drago's son.
Drago's son.
Yes.
Oh, that's going to be interesting.
That's
going to
be great.
Steroids, all right.
Steroids is all Lomachenko fault. Either way, I'm going with Guillermo to win this fight tomorrow. How, I don't know. But he will win this fight.
They're
in different weight classes, so it doesn't do my guy no favors. My guy will not get the credit regardless.
We'll make sure.
No,
but
he's not going to. They're still going to put Triple G before him, though. You know what I'm saying? So it doesn't matter. The only way Bud Crawford becomes number one if these two guys ahead of him lose. And Triple G's not. I mean, we had that conversation. I thought it was a draw, but if you'd have went one way, I would say I don't think that Triple G lost the fight. We had that talk. I don't think he lost the fight, but I wouldn't have been too completely mad with a draw either. So. I mean, he's also Ukrainian, so I just said it already when I think about him, okay?
It's steroids, man.
Micah, the non-boxing expert, the one we're trying to turn into a boxing fan, we're talking about two of the best pound-for-pound fighters in the world, and it's free on the full letter tomorrow. Would you tune in to watch this fight? To watch or not to watch? That is the question.
Did you just say that one of these guys who's ranked pound for pound hasn't even had 11 fights yet?
He's number two and number three in the world.
Here's my question.
According to Ring Magazine, he's number three.
According to Ring Magazine, the actual boxing publication,
he is number three
without having how many fights? Without having more than 10 fights yet.
He's 9-1 with 7 knockouts. Yep.
And he lost one. Mike, I'm not an expert by any means when it comes to this boxing, but how the hell?
Hold on, don't get me wrong. Don't get me wrong. I've seen the boy fight. Okay, the
boy
is bad.
Okay,
if you watch him,
the boy, the
boy
is bad.
Boy,
the boy, okay, he is bad.
So
I'm not knocking
that.
Let's paint that picture for you all over again.
So is this ranking for you gentlemen who are boxing aficionados, do you feel that this ranking for the pound-for-pound list at the moment is based on potential and what they saw in the first few fights, or is it based on actual ability, or do you think the potential of what they already saw to get better?
It's about
everything you just said.
What they see,
yeah.
It's everything. It's your skill set. It's all that implied. Like that's so Triple G is number one. So the reason Triple G is number one, Triple G's skill set is vicious, and he fought Canelo,
and he
fought Canelo,
and he just beat, right,
and
he fought Canelo,
and held his own.
Right.
So
that's why he
won.
Crawford's
day,
number two.
Crawford hasn't, like, I'm not knocking anybody. Crawford or Lomachenko hasn't fought anybody to the caliber of Triple G has fought, and that's just the truth, and that's what it is right now. But you respect Crawford's talent.
I will definitely disagree with that because –
I think
outside of Triple G fighting Canelo, they both fought. That's the landscape
fought,
of boxing. I don't think neither one of them fought the greatest fighters.
No, he fought Winston. That was pretty good. The kid that he almost tore his eye socket out. Who am I thinking of? Mikael Brooks is a good boxer. Like, he's fought good people. Like, Mikael Brooks is a good boxer. Mikael Brooks is good. So I'm just saying, if we're gonna really do this, like Triple G has fought more. Like to me, Triple G has fought his talent and the people
he's fought two people better than him. You can't.
We're comparing, it's like playing ping pong.
It's like playing ping pong. Tell me in that division of
right,
the junior welterweight division, who can Terry Crawford fight?
Well, I'm just telling you, the argument is the resume. That's what we're talking about, right?
Keith Thurman don't want that work. Earl Spence
Micah asked. That's not what Micah asked.
Is it?
Micah,
I know. I got my feelings involved.
So, Micah, clearly. To your point, what I'm trying to say, Micah, is that you have to add in your resume and your skill set. Crawford and Lomachenko haven't fought the people that Triple G fought. That's going to be tough. Like, if Andre Ward didn't retire, he would probably be number one. You get what I'm saying? You get my point? It's because of the resume. So it just depends on Mayweather. They retire, he'd be number one. It'd be easy. Mayweather would be number one. He'd be power round the best. But it's all about resume and your skill set.
Well, there you have it, guys. So who wins? Oh, you say who wins this fight tomorrow? So are you watching? That's the question I asked you there, Micah.
Say that again, Mike.
I'm sorry. Are you watching this?
Are you watching?
I guess based on what y'all are talking about, and for me to, I mean, you know, I'm a gamer, man. You know I'm a gamer, and I got that Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild, you know, and I don't know, Mike.
The hell
guy,
it is, but you've had it for about 3 weeks now, so, I mean,
yeah,
hello.
Yeah, but I work for a job, but you already know I work three jobs, so I'm not sitting here, I'm taking my free time to play the game, and I'm absorbing my free time. Of course, having time with my son first, and then my free time, I do that.
But then you say things like I'm a gamer, but you're still retro gaming. Real gamers have some of the newer systems that are out there, sir.
I actually, that's an incorrect statement because a gamer is.
That is not an incorrect statement.
It is very incorrect.
Not an incorrect statement.
But that is a JMO for Monday because we got lots. We got lots for this weekend.
Well,
that
Monday's
be a great
show.
Monday. We'll go.
Well, Monday's show, frankly, guys, will be the show that gets Hugo a chubby every year. Will be our top 25 female edition show, the music edition, and I have the nominee of who they are. I would not tell you what places they have been placed in, but I will tell you. I think Jay Chris knows the majority of the list. I went over with Jay Chris, so he shall not be surprised. And he did not get on me about my list either. We have, of course, your typicals, Rihanna, Beyonce, Carrie Hilson, Keisha Cole, Ashanti's, Latoya Luckett, your Alicia Keys of the world, for, you know, guys like, what's his name here? You know who he is, that guy from PG County, you know. Escape, makes the list. Sierra, Monica, Tiana Taylor. Remy Ma,
Carly B, SZA, Demi Lovato.
Where would they all fit? Where would they all be? Come find out Monday.
don't forget the name Seven Streeter.
Seven Streeter. She didn't make the list, brother. I looked at her other pictures, and she is her face. Crater issues.
So
what's in the chat? It did not win Game of the Year. Forza won Game of the Year. So get your facts straight. The video game
actually,
show award for all.
Not this new one, but Legend of Zelda has won Game of the Year in the past. So
it has. Now he said, but that's not what he put. He said one Game of the Year. He didn't say has won Game of the Year. So I'm reading it as it was wrote. Well, right. So that's not my fault. So we're not talking about past tense again. If you look at the majority of the landscape of video gaming, I'm quite sure and I'm pretty positive, according to the stats that I read, and I'm on this stuff every day, that more people are playing PlayStation 4, Xbox than they are playing Nintendo 64s anymore or retro gaming. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah,
I'm
that
saying.
Doesn't matter.
When you go to Mixer, more people are playing up to date games. That's all I'm saying. I'm not knocking what you like. I would never do that, honestly, because it's your hard-earned money. Play what the hell you want to play, Tom, right? But I'm just saying, you know, guys like myself, guys like Micah, I mean, you are Micah, guys like Vaughn and Jay Chris, we're waiting for you to come up to the next level so we can whoop that ass. We can't whoop your ass on a system we don't have.
No, I'm sorry. I mean, my bad. I like to develop quality fine motor skills, so that's why I play games that require fine motor skills. If you want to play games that's two button combinations, perfectly fine. But I like to prefer games that actually challenge me. That's just all.
I'm sorry. So you're
Cuphead.
Saying so,
you'll love it.
Right, exactly.
You'll love Cuphead.
Play or Unravel. Yeah. Okay.
Unravel.
I play more than just sports. Yeah. Very, very good game, by the way.
I don't even know what that is.
See? Because you're stuck in the primitive times. But we're going to move on to this week in the NFL and lock up a couple games. Last night we saw the New Orleans Saints choke away the game as Drew Brees went back to his old self, or should we say Peyton went back to his old self and throwing the ball more than he could run the ball once Kamara got hurt. I believe, the first 3-4 minutes of the ball game, left with a concussion. And I say this just for one thing. They've been playing Thursday night football games for how long? Since Thanksgiving days, right? They've always played those games on Thanksgiving. No one's ever started complaining before. Listen, NFL players, Thursday night football games ain't going nowhere. They're just not. They're not going anywhere. So all the complaining and the bitching y'all do, just really just, you know, try another avenue. Or as my boy Stu Gox would say, sit out. I'm so sick of NFL players complaining. If you don't like what's going on, don't do a Malcolm Jenkins and take the money. Sit out. But you guys don't have the inner testicular fortitude to sit out. You say you stand for something, but I don't see you standing for anything. I see you taking the money every single time. And I'm not saying I wouldn't take the money. I'm not placing your position to know if I would take the money or not. Hell, I'm broke. I know I would take the money, but you're not. And I also understand that only, I think it's a low, 15-25% of the NFL actually are millionaires, because the majority of the players don't get paid. So,
facts.
You know, again, just don't, I get if you don't sit out. I understand that. You got mouths to feed. I'm tired of hearing you complain about it. I really am. I'm tired of you complaining about it. But we're going to go to the game that everybody's going to be watching, that everybody's going to be talking about. Why? Because, damn it, the New York Giants are a bunch of chickens. Why are they a bunch of chickens? You had the balls to sit Eli Manning, and then you make the coach and the general manager scapegoats, and now he's back in there. When actually, factually, y'all made the right decision by benching Eli Manning to see what else was out there. But you made the biggest blunder in the world, and you didn't put in the rookie. You put in Geno Smith. And Geno Smith might be the most hated quarterback in New York franchise history, even beating butt fumble. That was the mistake. But you got him back in the game. You got the Cowgirls going to Dallas. I'm sorry, the Cowboys going to New York City as they take on the Giants. Jay Chris, the Dallas Cowboys are favored by 5 points in this game. And I think this is a very important gain in the career of one Rain Dakota Prescott, because we don't know what we're going to get. This is the game where he has to show that he can win a game without his running back. The question is, will the Giants come to play for Eli, or will they lay down like they lay down all season long? Jay Chris, 4.5 is Dallas. Who you got winning this ball game?
Man, I hate to say it, and I'm sorry, Wally. Dallas wins 2 weeks in a row, and they cover that 4.5. I'm going with the Dallas Cowboys. I think Prescott does his thing this weekend, and you know the Giants are just done. They're terrible. They're sorry. They're pitiful. They're a wreck. What else you want me to say about them? I can keep going if you want me to. They're putrid.
They're putrid.
They're terrible.
Okay.
Anything
terrible.
Else?
Terrible. Just terrible.
You lock it up.
Wally is going to pick the New York Football
no,
Giants.
No, I'm not going to pick. They're horrible. That's a middle school football team, man. That's a middle school football team. That ain't a real football team.
Middle school.
Gino looked better than Eli in that Raiders game. That's a whole different argument to his own right.
I would say that's a conversation worth arguing because I don't think he looked that great either in that game.
They almost won, didn't they?
So guys, so I grew up in a house that had mice and roaches and rats. I'm in a house now in Florida that has frogs. What the hell am I supposed to do with frogs in my house? You got frogs in the house.
Man, you gotta get some house archie batter, bro. Kill those frogs down, gut them out, make some frog legs. That's how you do it.
No, I'm gonna get a shoe and kill them like I've been. Michael, who wins this game? Dallas or the New York Football Giants? I also got the Dallas Cowboys winning this ball game, but I still think the Dakota Rain Prescott will not look so impressive.
Yeah, it just. I hate to pick the Cowgirls, but I have to. They're gonna win that game, and I mean it's gonna be a divisional game, so I expect the Giants to cover, but I don't expect them to win this game. So give me the Giants to cover. That's right.
Whoa, I like it. He got some interceptions.
You better lock it up.
You hear that?
Lock it up. Lock it up.
We got Pittsburgh and the Sunday Nighter against Baltimore. Pittsburgh at home, favored by 5 in this ball game. A very important game this week. Jay Chris. Who you got? The Pittsburgh Steelers looking ahead maybe to next week against the Patriots, or they take care of business against Baltimore? Favored by 5. Who you got in this game?
Well, this is a rivalry game. It's always a good game. It's a Sunday night game. I'm going with the Baltimore Ravens to cover that 5.5. I think it's going to be a close game. I got Baltimore covering that five point.
Who you got in this game there, Wally? Wow.
You better lock it up. You lock it up.
First of all, it's crazy kid Shay Deer. That was a terrible injury. But, yeah, I got Pittsburgh. Ravens, Flacco still ain't, you know, the best offensively. And they still have to score with Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh still has playmakers on the other side of the ball. So I'm going to go Pittsburgh in this game.
Michael, who you got winning this ball game?
Ben Roethlisberger has an exceptional record. Exceptional. Record in primetime games. I think he's lost maybe like 1 or 2 primetime games in his career as a starting quarterback. So give me the Pittsburgh Steelers in this one.
Pittsburgh goes to me as well.
Lock it up.
Micah, I think Pittsburgh wins this game and covers against Baltimore. I think Baltimore's defense is good, but I think at the end of the day, I think Pittsburgh wins this game by 6 or 7 points to cover the spread all the way out in this one. Then we have the Los Angeles Philadelphia Eagles traveled to Los Angeles to take on the Rams. The Rams, after the Eagles debacle last week, at home in a home game that if you listen to any radio that's going on in the East Coast, you know that the Philadelphia Eagles, as of right now, has more fans, tickets bought in this stadium than the Rams do going back to, I believe, was that week two against the Chargers. When the Eagles did the same thing, the Rams are still favored in this game. Jay Chris. Do the Rams with the worst 27th-ranked rush defense, can they stop this powerful Eagles offense who's looking to get back on track this week? Favored by 3 are the Rams. Who you got?
You know, really, I should not be allowed to speak on Philadelphia Eagles games, but I'm going with the Eagles.
Okay. One second. Indulge me. Why can't you speak on the games?
Because I can't. It's hard. It's very difficult for me to pick Eagles games with my head and not my heart. It's hard for me to do it. I pride myself on somebody that can do it. It's very hard for me to do it on this week, but I'm going with the Eagles. I don't know if I'm speaking with my head or my heart right now, but I'm going with the Eagles in this game.
Micah, who you got? The Eagles or you have the Los Angeles Rams?
In this game, I'm sorry, LA. I still like y'all, and I really do believe that y'all are real. But the last time y'all faced a top tier defense, y'all lost. And that was the Minnesota Vikings. So Philadelphia Eagles, y'all Eagles is number three in total defense. So sorry, LA Rams, you go down one more time. You go down one more week. Give me those Eagles.
Is this a trap game for them as the Rams look to play Seattle next week as well? I just like that this game is the game of the week because you have one versus two from last year. You have two quarterbacks who kind of struggled in their rookie years who are now both got to be, you know, candidates for the MVP award as well. I think Jared Goff is also playing on that kind of type level out there in Los Angeles. This will be a good game. I'm also in a boat with Jay Chris. Although I didn't think the Eagles could cover last week, and they didn't. They lost the game. But it's 3 points in L.A. I think the Eagles can win this game outright. 3 points or not. I just think the Philadelphia Eagles win this ball game. I think
they have something to prove.
To the naysayers, the fans, you know, in Philadelphia. I've said this time and time again. I don't think that real Philadelphia Eagles fans reside in the city of Philadelphia because they Philadelphia fans and Philadelphia – live too much in their emotions. You had people ready to jump off the bridge last week, and he's a horrible coach, and this team isn't ready. The defense, it sucks, and we still – go watch the tape. Go watch the film. You heard Donovan McNabb, who I know Philadelphia never respects, who's great at what he does. He was a great quarterback. He's a great analyst. Broke it down for you and told you all the plays the Philadelphia Eagles team missed. Again, taking nothing away from what Seattle did, the Eagles in this game, I would say more than ever before, beat themselves. I can't see them doing that twice in a row. And you even had some fans, which me, myself, and Jay Chris disagree with, saying, hey, get the loss out of the way, and they're glad they lost. I'm not ever happy to lose, but they got it out the way, back to business, let's get it on. Then we have a game, well, I think it's also very interesting, where we have the Chargers at home against Washington. The Chargers need this win. Washington is virtually out of it. Who wins this game, Jay Chris? I mean, Wally, the Washington Redskins are 6-point underdogs against the Chargers, the number one defense in the NFL.
Yeah, that's about right. Chargers winning.
Wally has jumped off the bridge. Right. Wally, have you jumped off the bridge, Wally?
I'm not jumping off the bridge. I'm a realist. I mean, the Chargers, they're playing the Chargers. They're playing Phillip Rivers, man. They're playing Phil, man. They're losing.
Okay.
That pass
Jay
Chris.
I'm going to keep saying that. I disagree with that so much.
You better lock it up. No, you lock it up. Lock it up.
I think Phillip Rivers is elite. And I think he has never had the weapons that other quarterbacks have had. And he's still – I think Phillip Rivers gets the job done. I think he's a gamer. He plays hard.
Yes, sir.
I think he's completely underrated as a quarterback.
Totally agree.
Not if you ever have him on your fantasy team. I don't think you would think that way.
Oh, he's killing with me.
He's
killing with me, though.
Whatever. I mean, I don't want to hear it. Well, maybe he just doesn't like me, all right, and I don't care. But I'm going with the Skins in this one, man. I like the Skins to, you know, I don't like that six point cushion. I mean, I like the 6-point cushion for the Skins, so I'm going with the Skins in this one. It's in L.A. D.C. fans are loyal, and it might be a D.C. home game. So I'm going with the Skins in this one.
I'm also taking the Chargers to win this by 6 points. Boa Constrictor and that team. Melvin's going to be asking, do you want your breakfast, Melvin? Gordon will be asking that question as I think they win this game very convincingly going away. But I still like the Washington Redskins. I think Kirk Cousins is a gamer. I take nothing away from it. I just think that the the Chargers right now, and all cylinders are clicking. Micah, who you got winning this game? Chargers favored by points at home against the Redskins.
Yeah, L.A. Chargers are number five in passing defense right now. And Kirk Cousins is – he's a caboose more so than an engine when it comes to being a quarterback. So, yeah, that six. That six scared me at first, and I realized who was actually quarterback in the Washington Redskins and the pieces that he has around him if they feel like actually playing. I'll take that six, and I'll take L.A. I'll take that whole thing, yeah.
Well, that's what killed me over the fantasy football was me taking some of those receivers over there.
Lock it up.
Reed been hurt all season, ain't do nothing for me. You know, I drafted that boy in every single fantasy football league.
Reed?
As a tight end.
Jay Reed?
Every single league. Yep, every single league. And that brother's been hurt game virtually the whole entire season.
Yeah.
Hamstring. he kept pulling his hamstring.
Another important matchup. For two different reasons. Seattle's trying to stay where they are, stay in the playoff race, get in this race, cement themselves in being a top team in the NFL. But Jacksonville is trying to prove that we are somebody here to be reckoned with right now. This game's in Jacksonville. Jacksonville's at home, favorite by 3 points. It is that typical West Coast team coming East Coast as Seattle comes to Jacksonville. Jay Chris, 3 points. Do you trust Jacksonville or Seattle travel very well across the East Coast?
This is a West Coast team coming east, you said?
Yes, sir.
I'm going with Jacksonville. I mean, Seattle's still trying to stay in this race. They're trying to keep up with the Rams, so they got a lot to play for right now. I'm going with Seattle to win this game. I'm going with Seattle on this one.
So you got in this one there, Wally Wild?
You better lock it up.
I'm going Jacksonville. I like their front seven, their front seven, their defense, their cornerbacks. I think they don't get after Russell Wilson. It's gonna be a long day for home. And then Jacksonville plays that physical style of football. So I'm going Jacksonville. They're like a retro Seattle. They're a retro Seattle Seahawks.
It's a
425
game.
Not with that quarterback.
They don't put that much on him. He's not playing that bad, though. He's not playing that bad.
I get that, but there's I have to believe, and maybe this is the Jay Chris be coming out to the Jay Chris, the fan of the Eagles. If the Eagles couldn't catch Russell Wilson, no one can. And I think the Eagles front seven is a better front seven than Jacksonville's.
Jacksonville's
secondary is nasty. Their front seven.
Calais Campbell. Look at what Calais Campbell's doing this year.
I'm not knocking one player. You're naming one person. I'm naming the total defense of the defense. Statistically speaking, that front seven is not better than the Eagles' front seven. They're not.
Okay.
Hey, bro. It's a really good front seven, man. It's a very good front seven.
It's the number one. It's the number one
front seven.
It's the number one total defense in the league.
They lead the league in sacks.
No, it's not. The Chargers are the number one defense in the league.
No,
they're not. The number one defense is the Jacksonville Jaguars. I'm looking right at it right now.
It must have changed from last week because last week it was the Chargers. But tomato, I mean, what we always say, right? You know, stats can be inflated, but we also say that stats don't lie, fans do, right? So. who you got winning this game, Micah, as you chimed in my ear?
I see Jacksonville winning this game, but you want to know something? I'm going balls to the wall. Give me Seattle to cover that 2.5. That 3, excuse me. Give me Jacksonville
I got
to cover
Seattle winning
that.
Outright.
I mean, Seattle to cover.
Seattle winning outright.
It's going to be close. Listen, I mean,
guys,
Wilson is the difference maker.
Tune in Monday, guys, and it's the best show of the year as we will give you the top 25 Star Network brought to you here on Fox Sports Network. Top 25 females all of Music Edition 2017. And fellas, you got a girl. If you don't have a girl, you want to date one, sit down and watch Netflix and chill and watch She's Gotta Have It. Spike Lee is back. 100% a Spike Lee joint, the way you remember it when you was watching Spike Lee joints back in the day. A very, very good show on Netflix, y'all. Listen, lock it up. We'll see y'all on Monday, y'all. You got to go home. Now, if you can't do anything in the morning without waking up saying, you cannot say to yourself, I love me some me, and don't love God. That's crazy, y'all. We out of here. Peace.
Hi, this is Maury Moreland Morrison here to tell you Geico has more than just great savings. Much more. Yes, while Geico could help you rack up more moolah faster than you can say metamorphosis, they've also been the fastest growing auto insurer for more than 10 years. That's more like it. Furthermore, Geico has fast and friendly claim service. That might seem like an oxymoron, but it's not. All the more reason to say no other auto insurer has more than Geico. Geico, expect great savings and a whole lot more.
Do you suffer from chronic CFED or can't focus energy drain? Try over-the-counter Vibrin. One tablet contains the same caffeine as a cup of coffee, but without the calories or coffee breath. Vibrin, caffeine, not coffee. Taking Vibrin may result in a lack of drowsiness, improved productivity, and better cash flow from decreased coffee spending. Unexpected job promotions have been associated with Vibrin. Vibrin may decrease the urge to zone out, doze off, or exhibit signs of slacking. All jokes aside, always read the label, take only as directed, and limit caffeine as it may cause real side effects. Not for children under age 12.